The White House ordered a 30-day cyber sprint this summer in response to data breaches at the Office of Personnel Management. They had proven just how vulnerable federal networks were to attacks. Now the White House has a new plan, and that sprint has become a marathon. Ned Miller is Chief Technology Strategist for the Intel Security Group's Public Sector Division, and he joins us now with more on this new stage. Hi, Ned.
Good morning, Emily.
So, first of all, the White House issued what is properly termed the Cybersecurity Strategy and Implementation Plan last week. What is the main difference between it and this sprint that happened over the summer?
Yes, Emily. The Cybersecurity Implementation Plan is a fairly comprehensive document that describes not only the prescription for where the government is headed with respect to cybersecurity, but also a series of mandates as well as dates for deliverables.
And what sort of things are agencies, you know, the sprint was all focused on, we've got this problem, let's fix it, let's have a team swarm in and do whatever they have to do. What's the new philosophy going forward? I mean, we say this is a marathon, but isn't this sort of something that should be going on forever in perpetuity?
That's accurate, Emily. This is a scenario where cybersecurity is a continuous effort, and part of this plan actually continues to reinforce some of the best practices that the government should continue to leverage in terms of cybersecurity. There are really four categories that I think we should be monitoring very closely as a result of the cybersecurity plan that's been shared so far. And that's around the threat landscape and information sharing, skilled resources that are able to help the government in this arena, the budget and or consequence for them to execute, and of course access to emerging technologies that can be acquired to help them defend the network landscape.
What's the biggest news to come out of this plan, something that the government has defined or changed direction on that it wasn't already doing?
You know, quite honestly, I think the most significant news out of this is the accountability matrix of who's involved from the government across the board, whether it's Office of OMB, DHS, National Security Council, NSA, et cetera. The document outlines a pretty comprehensive matrix of those who are accountable for the deliverables with very specific dates. So we're encouraged to see the emphasis on moving forward as quickly as possible. So I think that's probably the most significant thing that's different from the sprint itself.
Does it succeed in taking it out of sort of the realm of what specialists do and actually making it something that leadership has to worry about?
I believe so, because the accountability matrix actually calls out the CIOs and the CISOs from each of the agencies with very specific deliverables and due dates, as I've said. So you'll see December 31st this year as a critical date, and then March, the end of March for 2016 as a critical deliverable date as well.
What do you see as the main challenges the government is going to have in implementing this plan?
This most significant challenge is going to be aligning what I believe to be the FY16 budget to the plan objectives. As you can appreciate, a lot of the FY16 budget planning process was done well in advance of this particular plan. So getting alignment to make sure that they can implement and action the plan as defined will be an interesting area to watch.
We're speaking with Ned Miller. He's Chief Technology Strategist for the Intel Security Group's Public Sector Division. And is this sort of thing that the government is proposing any more expensive? I mean, does there have to be a greater investment in cybersecurity than it has been making in the past?
It's a great question, Emily. And, you know, the focus really needs to be on how they invest the existing dollars they've got. The industry will always suggest that there's never enough security. I think the investment area where the government will have to make significant areas of improvement are going to be around their ability to recruit and retain cybersecurity talent. So I think there'll have to be an additional investment in that area. And that's, you know, it's very competitive in terms of salaries for the commercial cyber practices today. So that's one key area where significant investment will have to be made.
So DHS, NSA, a few agencies have more liberty to pay cybersecurity professionals better, if not on par with the private sector, just better than they would make in the general schedule. Does this account for other agencies? Because all agencies need to have good cybersecurity.
That's true, and the plan does account for that. So there are implications that are described in the plan that suggest there will be a much more competitive posture across all of government to secure the next generation of cybersecurity practitioners.
And what about cyber hygiene? This was something that was talked about a lot after the OPM breaches, that every employee, regardless of whether or not they are actually a cybersecurity professional, plays a role in their agency's cybersecurity. Is that taken into account here?
It is at a high level. Cybersecurity education and awareness still remains one of the top areas that requires improvement, not just in government, but also in the commercial sector. As you think about the classification of the breaches and what we're seeing in terms of the trends, we're still seeing that human error is still one of the number one contributors to the cause of the problem.
What about the role of the private sector? Because when things like this happen, there's a lot of talk about better information sharing. We know that there's legislation moving through Congress, albeit slowly, on this. But what sort of relationship does this plan set out between agencies and private sector experts?
There's a call to action in the plan for improved information sharing across the private-public community of interest here as well. And I think we will see the trend going forward with respect to how to share that information in a more meaningful way. And what I mean by that is the global threat information that we have at our disposal in the commercial sector, along with what we see across the government community as well, needs to be delivered to the cyber defenders in a way in which their tool sets that they've deployed have the ability to consume that data in an automated fashion in order to react and respond much more quickly than what they do today to improve the overall defensive posture. So the importance of that information sharing is very significant as part of this overall implementation plan.
And if the government follows this plan to the letter, in September of next year, do you think it's going to be possible for another big attack like the one that we saw on the OPM databases?
One of the things that we typically describe in terms of the federal government is the attack surface. So when you think about the overall landscape for the .gov and .mil number of employees that we actually have where they own multiple devices, whether it's desktops, notebooks, mobile devices, tablets, et cetera, that overall attack surface, that footprint is very significant, probably one of the largest verticals in the world when you look at it through that lens. So we can't predict, you know, exactly at this point when another attack will occur, but it is inevitable if you just look at the attack surface. If you subscribe to the theory that the attack surface is now becoming infinite with the advent of IoT, Internet of Things devices, as well as all the devices we have today deployed, and even the new entrants around cloud and even SDN and SDI technology, there's a whole new threat landscape we haven't even addressed yet. So it is inevitable given the footprint that the federal government represents.
All right. Ned Miller is Chief Technology Strategist for the Intel Security Group's Public Sector Division. Ned, thank you.
Thank you, Emily. Have a great day.